Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Hallelujah. Interesting things are happening now. You know, now I'm back to Watchman. Eh? You understand? Now, wonderful things are happening. And I've been trying to see what's happening in the world right now and contrasting it with what the Lord has been sharing for all the years in regard to fulfillment of Bible prophecy and the things that we expect to come to pass. And there were interesting things that happened. First of all, you know, we all watch Israel. Eh? And now you realize that the government there collapsed again. And now there is going to be an election on November 1st. I think the fifth election in like 3.5 years. So they're almost having elections every year. And there's a reason why that is happening, because there's a shaking that has to take place, because there's somebody who has to come and be there. And what happened is, in all those years, I remember the first one, there's this story which I've told before. Let me tell it again for the benefit of people who haven't heard it before. But it's a story of a certain guy from Zimbabwe, a minister called Robert Mawire. Now, Robert Mawire, from way back, God put this burden for Israel on him. He stays now in America and preaches there, but he's originally from Zimbabwe. So he said in the 1990s, he was somewhere and the Lord told him that he gave him a message for the Prime Minister of Israel. And the Prime Minister of Israel at the time was Benjamin Netanyahu. So he gave him a message for him. Now the Lord told him, now this is just, he was preaching somewhere in, you know, in mid-America. So the Lord told him, go to Dallas, you'll meet somebody who is going to make it happen for you. So he went to Dallas and met a gentleman from Israel, who was known to Netanyahu, and he said, the Lord has sent me with a message for him, and he told me you're the one to deliver him there. So this guy said, let me see, I'll see what I can do. So he went, and eventually organized a meeting between Mawire and the Prime Minister of Israel. Now, when he arrived there, Netanyahu, I'm sure he has had so many people coming and saying they have messages from where. So when he arrived there, Netanyahu told him, you have exactly 1 minute, 60 seconds to state your case and leave. So he told him that the God of your forefathers has sent me to tell you, do not give away any land for peace. The day you give away land for peace, you are going to lose this prime ministership. And he said, the Lord put you there and has raised you up for this time. So do not allow to give any land for peace. So all the while he's talking, Netanyahu is looking at his watch. So he finishes and says, that's it? He says, that's it. Okay, bye-bye. Go. Now, at the time, Bill Clinton was the president of America, and he was pressuring Israel to give up some land to the Palestinians for peace. So the pressure was, of course, Netanyahu just thought this is just another one of these people who comes with words. So he left. But at the time he was telling it to him, actually, there was another man who eventually would become the Prime Minister of Israel called Ariel Sharon. He was there, right there when he was speaking, telling it to him. So Netanyahu gave out some land in exchange for peace. And as you know, Israel, within less than a year, the coalition government that he was in charge of collapsed and he lost his prime ministership. So then afterwards, this Mawire goes and says, God gave him another word, still for Netanyahu, now when he was not prime minister. And he told him that, you go and meet him. So this time he met Netanyahu when he was in in somewhere in Florida. He had come to address a gathering of, I think, Christians for Israel and something like that. So he went to him. Now, when he saw him, he recognized him. And he said, "Hey, so you're the man." He said, "The Lord told you not to give over the land. Now you're no longer prime minister." But now he was taking him seriously. It was no longer 1 minute. So he said, "Now, the Lord has said he's not finished with you. You are still going to be prime minister of Israel. And now when you get there, do not give away any of his land." Notice he says his land. Okay? Not Israel's land. He says, "Do not give away any of his land." And now this man would speak as if, no, not in third person, in first person. So he comes and says, "I am not done with you." As if he's speaking as if it's now directly the word of God. "You are still going to be prime minister of Israel. And this time do not give out land for peace." And then this time Netanyahu takes him seriously and listens and says, "Okay, I do not see, but if I become prime minister, I will not do it." But then this man also had another word. For that man who was there, that Ariel Sharon, he was a very big, you know, elderly, and, you know, very chubby man. So he went and told that man, when he was prime minister, he met him in a library somewhere in Jerusalem and told him that the Lord God has sent me to tell you. He wasn't prime minister at the time, by the way. Ariel Sharon had been minister of something and had been deposed, and there was a lot of corruption charges against him, and they were threatening to take him to ICC. There were all sorts of things against him, and his political career was more or less over. Now, Mawire comes and finds him in the library and says, "God has sent me to tell you, you're going to be prime minister of Israel in 6 months' time." The man said, "What?" He said, "6 months." The man said, "My career is over. I am finished. I'm disgraced." He says, "The Lord has sent me to tell you that you are going to be prime minister in 6 months' time. But when you become prime minister, do not give away my land in exchange for, to the Palestinians in exchange for peace." Then he even wrote for him. Then the man stood there and the conviction was so, he even wrote down everything the man was saying and says, "I've written down everything you've said here. If I ever become prime minister, even if that is very unlikely, if I ever become prime minister, I'll remember these words." Then he got folded the piece of paper and put it in his pocket. It actually took about 6 months exactly. You know Israel, the way their things work. The government collapses. And the reason governments collapse in Israel, just to give you a bit of a background, is because they have one of the most interesting democracies, actually, in the world. Because it's a parliamentary democracy. But it is based on people working together. Okay? So now they have 120 seats in their Knesset, parliament called Knesset, 120 seats. Now, when they do elections, each one, people go and vote for members of parliament from different parties. But it is almost impossible for any party to get the 61 seats required to be prime minister alone. That has hardly ever happened. So you have to enter into a coalition. Now, what happens? There are people who get 5-3. There are even Arab parties which have like 4 and what. But the person who gets the most Knesset seats, the party which gets the most Knesset seats, is given 3 months to go and form a coalition to make 61. 3 months. Go and talk to other people and make 61. So if you get 35 and you are the one who has got the most, they are so split. They split almost across. So you have to go and talk to all the other parties and you say you have 15. Come, we'll give you this number of ministerial seats. Come and join us. Bring your 15, we make 50. Now, when you make 50, you need an extra 11. So you'll go and talk to all people to make sure that you cross the threshold of 61. You reach the threshold of 61, then you're declared prime minister. If in 3 months you've not convinced any other group, then they give the person who was second an opportunity to form a coalition. And if he succeeds, he becomes prime minister and you remain there, even if you apparently beat him in an election. Now, the reason this coalition in Israel failed is because the guy who was there, the prime minister who has just been there, called Naftali Bennett, who is a conservative, not different in ideology, not too much difference in ideology to Netanyahu, although Netanyahu is a bit of a disliked figure by certain political class in Israel. But he had 63, and so he was prime minister for about a year. But then, you have to make sure you keep these people happy. Anytime they say we are pulling out, back to elections. So now one party which had 4 MPs came out of the coalition, and bah, he falls to 59 elections. So that's why they keep on having elections. So because you have to keep them together, you have to keep your coalition together and keep everybody happy. It's not easy. And you see now Netanyahu has been the longest serving prime minister of Israel, even longer than the guy who started it, the guy called Ben-Gurion. But David Ben-Gurion. So now, once you fall below 61, at that stage actually, incredibly, Netanyahu's Likud party still had more MPs than even the guy who was prime minister. But none of these other guys would join with him to make the 61. So he keeps. But if any of those guys, he has to actually come and he can just talk to one of them and your government collapses once you fall below 61. Now, so this guy, back to our story, this guy, Ariel Sharon, writes everything that gentleman tells him, puts it in the pocket, and says, the truth is I don't see how I'm ever going to be prime minister again. But if I become prime minister, I'll remember these words of yours. So he walked out of the library. Then after, as I told you, 6 months later, the government collapses and his party somehow wins a majority and somehow he makes a coalition and somehow he becomes prime minister against all the odds. But now, this one went exact opposite to everything that he had written down. The total, complete opposite, because he was the one who gave away the West Bank. He's the one who gave away Bethlehem. Okay? So now the Palestinians control that place where there is the Chapel of Nativity, where apparently Jesus was born. Very big tourist site. And that's what they want. They want to collect money from tourists who are coming there, yet they don't believe in what they are believing in. You understand? Eh? So that's what they want. So now people will go to Bethlehem, to the Chapel of Nativity, where Jesus, the place where they say Jesus was born. It's the Palestinians getting the money, you know, because this guy gave. Now he was actually, this Ariel Sharon, after writing those things and saying, I don't see how it's ever going to happen. And then it did. He was actually even willing to give out the rest of East Jerusalem and all the territories which were captured by Israel in 1967. He was determined to do that. And a lot of pressure from George Bush and so on. And actually, he was so determined to do it, but his party was so against it. Was extremely against it, but he was so determined to do it, and it was a very popular, among the people, it was a very popular stance. So he even started his, he jumped from the party where he was, which he said we cannot go back to pre-1967 lines, and then started another party called Kadima, which means go forward, and Kadima was all set to win the Israeli elections, and they probably would have been the only one to win it without needing a coalition. That's how popular that idea was. The trouble with it, though, is that Jesus said when the time of the Gentiles ends in Jerusalem, they will never go back. So the elections were slated for the beginning around 10th of January. In December, Ariel Sharon, who was not a very healthy man, got a stroke. That is 2003, I think. December 2003, got a stroke. 2003 or 2004. Got a stroke and stayed in it for about 10 years until he died. He stayed more or less brain dead, eating through a pipe and what. So when that passed, another prime minister came and said, we are not giving them back those places. So that stayed there. Now, Obama becomes president in America. Netanyahu becomes prime minister again. And now this time, Obama being who he is, was pushing so hard for Israel to give territory. But now Netanyahu remembered the other words. He said, no, I will not give any. Because through the word of that, he had told him, do not give away any inch of my land for peace. So he told Obama no. So there was a huge rift between Obama's America and Netanyahu. They disliked him so much to the point that when there was an election in Israel somewhere in the middle, the Obama sent his Kakuyege people to come into Israel and go door to door campaigning for the guy who was Netanyahu's rival, the way they did in 2008 campaigning for Obama. So they were going Kakuyege doing, but now it actually had the exact opposite effect, because even the Israelis who hated Netanyahu said, who do these Americans think they are to come and tell us whom to vote for? So they said, like, let's just vote for Netanyahu and show them that let them not worry here again. We have our own country. Let them go back to America. So now, actually, he won a huge victory. Still, he had to do a coalition, but his victory was so big. But I remember the way the news was. The whole news, and now that's how you see that this is the voice of hell, all of them. CNN, BBC, what Netanyahu said to lose the prime ministership. Now, suddenly, they had been talking about that. Everybody, he said to lose, said to lose. Then when he won so big, they all kept quiet. Nobody even announced that actually he has won. 10 hours after he had been declared winner, CNN and what, were all quiet. Then Netanyahu is the one who came out and said, since media is not going to announce, let me announce, I have won. So he came back now, but he won by insisting not to, you know. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is, this man on this last message, he told him, you're going to be prime minister for Israel at a very important time for your country. And he said, and you will be there for the rebuilding of the Tabernacle of David. That's what he told him. You'll be there for the building of Tabernacle of David. Now, you can make of that what you will, but what I found interesting is the Tabernacle of David can mean so many things, but I think I know what the Lord meant in that instance. But then now, Netanyahu leaves. And of course, the world media, he's struggling to hold on to the prime ministership because there are charges against him, corruption charges. He's going to go to jail if he ceases to be prime minister. The corruption charges stopped the day he stopped being prime minister. Nobody was. You see, the world and its systems are so vindictive that if you do not know that if you stand with God, you're standing against the world, you'll cave in. You'll cave in. And I know how exactly, if you lose certain. You see, people, you just talk about things, eh? But people start well and go rogue, not because they are bad. Now, seeing that, I told you that president of Malawi, whom the Lord even used, I saw him in a dream, and what, like, everything, there was that relation. And when he became president, I was listening to him all the time, speaking about how the Lord told him that you leave, you know, go and stand for president. Then he said, who am I going to leave my ministry with? Then he says, no, you're not leaving your ministry. You're expanding your ministry to cover the whole country. Now the guy is full in with Pfizer, Kagame, Museveni, and all those people. Full in with them. Like, those people can put pressure on you. And you lose, you cease to know who you are. Until you know that somebody told you you are going to lose it, and you refused, and in 1 year you lost it. Then you know now, these guys are not the ones who made me become prime minister. Because so many years, they said, you are still going to be prime minister again. But this time, remember. So he said, for the Tabernacle of David. That's what I wanted to get to. Now, the Tabernacle of David is, remember today I told you I'm watchman. So now, some days I'm man of, now today I'm watchman. So I'm telling you things which are. Now, the Tabernacle of David. So I was wondering, when he lost the prime ministership, what happens to this prophecy? But now after the collapse, guess who is the favorite to take over again? Netanyahu himself. They fought, but now he sat back and left the government. By the way, he could even have done a vote of no confidence. Because what happens once you fall below 61, the person who has bigger numbers does a vote of no confidence. And if it passes, which it has to because you cannot, the government is not there, then he's given some time to make a coalition. If he succeeds, he takes over. But now Netanyahu even kept quiet. He did not do that. He said, let's go through the path of elections. Now, the elections are November 1st of this year. Now, but between now and then, a number of things might have happened, which are very, very, very significant. Because I see that there is a brewing storm in that place, which nobody is talking about. Okay, they are talking about here and there. But, you know, mostly, if you really want to, you know, these days we even watch news from India, where, because that's where you can get a little truth. These other ones, it's all agenda. So, but when you read, and actually, if you want to really know what's happening, learn how to read, not to watch. Because the ones which are saying the real things are chucked off YouTube, if they are not falling into an agenda. But they are bloggers and what, people who actually know a lot, who you go and sit down and read. So now, what's happening in the Middle East is what I call a perfect storm. An absolute perfect storm. Because clearly, now, it's just a matter of a short time before there is a war between Iran and Israel. It has come to that. And now, to know it has come to that, now, the President of America is visiting Israel, the Middle East, actually, this month. What's the day today? Hey, actually, Akena reminded me it's exactly 6 years since we started our evening fellowship. We started it 1st July 2016. So today is our anniversary. Who has a cake? So he's going mid this month to the Middle East. And this is what I found interesting for his visit. First of all, he's trying to create an assembly of nations against Iran, which include Israel, which include all the Arab countries which signed what are called the Abrahamic agreements. That includes the UAE and those, you know, which had signed. Now, this one also, apparently, is going to include Jordan, which is interesting, and is Saudi Arabia, all in some kind of coalition with Israel against Iran. Now, this is interesting because all of them now realize that Iran is very close to getting a nuclear weapon. All the Sunni Muslim world does not want Iran to get a nuclear weapon, and all of them acknowledge there is only one country that can stop that from happening, and that is Israel. So now finally, they realize we have to be in an agreement with Israel, and that includes Jordan. But then, Iran has been very sharp, and this guy, before he lost his prime ministership, Naftali Bennett, he also is a tough liner, a bit like Netanyahu, but he said he's tired of fighting octopus wars, you know, where he's you're fighting the arms and not hitting the head. Because, you know, Iran are very, very good at creating arms. Because Iran, there is a huge distance between Iran and Israel, about 1,400 km. But then they cannot throw their missiles from there to here. That's why they need Syria. Very important, Syria. Now, they have been bringing their missiles through the airport in Baghdad, in Damascus, to the airport in Damascus, coming close, because Syria is now next door to Israel. Now from there they can launch. They can't launch from Iran. In between there is a whole huge country of Iraq. Okay, now geography lessons. Now they have been using Syria, bringing their things, landing in Damascus airport, then taking them to two armies which are helping to fight against Israel, which are close. Hezbollah, which is in Lebanon, just above Israel, next door to Israel. And of course, Hamas, which is in Gaza, or the West Bank, which is actually within Israel. You understand? So they pass them through Damascus and bring them close. So that when the order comes, and now they are in the thousands. So that when the order comes, now Israel has the ability to block them in the air, but not when they come so many. So you see, they can overwhelm it. Because if they send a few, then they will just put their air dome thing. And they, split in the air somehow. But if they send so many, that thing will be overwhelmed. And actually so many of them will be able to land into Israel. Now, Iran also took its next step. They went into cyber attacks. Now, there is a system which they use to announce when there is danger in Israel. And it's there, like, they give an announcement and somehow everybody knows there is some kind of danger. Now, the Iranians hacked into the thing and caused havoc in Israel by announcing danger, yet there was none. By the time Israel recovered it back, their message board back, there was a lot of havoc. So now you can see the war is actually simmering. Then Israel decided that in order to stop Iran from bringing their missiles closer to them, they have to go and bomb the airport in Damascus. So they went and bombed the airport in Damascus, especially the runway, and, you know, bombed it and created galleys so that now planes could not take off or land. Now that created a problem. Now here is what I call the perfect storm. Because so far, that helped a bit to reduce. But now the runway has even been repaired. But now Russia entered, because Russia has also been using that runway. And Russia came and said, told Israel, watch out, as if Syria is our territory. Now you see how the war is shaping up properly. You understand? Eh? Properly. Now we are getting there. Now, there are a few scriptures which we have, because Damascus is that airport, very important, without which Iran has no ability to send their things to Israel. 1,500 kilometers, they can't. So they have to come closer. And they need Syria. And they need Damascus. And that's going to be a fighting point. And we know that there is a prophecy in the Bible which states that Damascus will be destroyed completely. Eh? Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1. And it will cease from being a city, it says. It will be destroyed and will cease from being a city. And then it says, and the burden against Damascus, behold, Damascus will cease from being a city and it will be a ruinous heap. You can even stop there. But the thing is, this is one prophecy. Okay, there are many others. But this one has never happened. Damascus has never been destroyed. It is one of the oldest cities in the world, older than Jerusalem, older than any of them. Because even Abraham went to Damascus in the book of Genesis. And it is there, rare, where it has been all along. Okay? Now, the old cities like Jerusalem only comes into play much later in the times of David, when he captured it from the Jebusites and named it Zion or Jerusalem. But Abraham, so many generations earlier, was in Damascus. And yet it has never been destroyed. But now this prophecy has to come to pass, and now I'm seeing how it is going to come to pass. Because that puts Israel on collision course with Russia over Syria. Then it also will put Israel on collision course with China. Because now Russia and China recently signed a no limits deal where we are collaborating. So now there is this scripture. Then the others, which you know, but which I'm going to read in case you don't. There is one, of course, the Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38. Verse 1. Now, I want you to notice that in these scriptures, the Lord says that he's the one who draws these nations to come. Whereas the nations, of course, are convinced they draw themselves. But it is him who draws them and for the purpose of showing them judgment. And now that is the word that the Lord has been communicating a lot to me in the recent times, judgment. Judgment. Now, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog. We read this last time, eh? But let's start from verse 9. It says, you will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. How many peoples? How many peoples? I'll tell you exactly how many. 200 million people. It says that according to Revelation. It's an army of 200 million people. Now imagine, I want you to imagine an army of 200 million people attacking a nation which has only 15 million people. Not 15 million soldiers, 15 million people. And the other ones are an army of 100 million soldiers. So now, of course, for them to, 200 million, not 100 million. Now, of course, for them to make 200 million, we know that they have to be a coalition of so many countries in there. And I know for sure they will involve Turkey. I know for sure they will involve Russia. I know for sure they will involve China. And all of them will come against the mountain of Israel. And God says here that he will draw them to the mountains of Israel. Now, what does he mean by the mountains of Israel? From Syria, through Syria, they will come. When you come from Syria coming down into Israel, you go through a place called Golan Heights, which is now controlled by Israel. But it is their heights, very high. Israel had to capture them and take control of them. They used to belong to Jordan before. But in the 1967 war, Israel felt that they could not let Golan Heights be in the hands of anybody else apart from themselves. Because Golan Heights are heights, you understand? Mountains. And then when you are there, you're seeing Israel below you. And after Israel is the Mediterranean Sea. So you can't let your enemy have control over, because he has direct, he's looking over your head, you understand? So Israel had to go and annex them and say, now we are controlling them for our own safety. That happened in 1967. But now, Syria has been making noises that we want our Golan Heights back, but Israel would rather die. Because that will mean dying. You can't give a, that is a very strategic location to give an enemy. So anyway, it says, I will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud. You and all your troops, you will ascend. You and all your troops, many people with you. Then I'll move to verse 14. It says, still of chapter 38, therefore, son of man, prophesy to Gog. Thus says the Lord God, on that day, when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the north. You see now, it's giving, you know, the north of Israel through the Golan Heights. Out of the north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. You will come against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. Now you see, when 200 million people come, that's a cloud. Because they come to overwhelm. So he says that you descend on them like a cloud. They can even cause darkness. Just by the sheer weight of their numbers. So he says, you'll come against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be the latter days that I will bring you against my land. Now notice he says, I will bring you against my land. Remember what he said to the other guy? My land. Okay? Now, you want the land. You've been wanting it for long. So God says, now I will bring you to it. So that I finally hammer you properly and judgment. And you think you're coming on your own, you think you are strong, but God is saying, has put a hook in you. Actually, it says that I'll put a hook in them and draw them to the mountains of Israel. You'll come against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land so that the nations may know me. Verse 16, okay? When I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus says the Lord God, are you he of whom I have spoken in the former days? By my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years, and in those days that I would bring you against them. Then he goes on to say, verse 18. Now here is what happens according to the scripture. Here is what happens according to the news before the news. Verse 18. And it will come to pass at the same time when Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath, I have spoken. Surely in that day, there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. Now, I've checked and seen that so many times before when God was saving, not especially, Israel, against enemies who were overwhelming. He used an earthquake because he has so many weapons at his disposal. So they come and he sees you're too many. So he did that. Even in the days of David, especially Jonathan, who went and attacked the Philistines, and there was an earthquake which caused confusion. It's there in the book of 1 Samuel. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath, I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. Now, you see, it will also involve a tsunami, because if it says the things in the sea, then it says the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. Now, that sounds like a really big earthquake. But then what does God do when 14 million people have been attacked by 200 million? He has to pull out Amare, which is beyond the knowledge of man. So then he goes on and says, I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountain, says the Lord. Now here is what I found interesting. He says, every man's sword will be against his brother. Every man's sword will be against his brother. Of the people who are attacking Israel. Now that's where it becomes interesting. Because if you find that Sunni Muslims are allied with Israel, against Shia Muslims of Iran. Now, if they come and God wants to save Israel, then he turns the Sunnis against the Shia. And then Israel is what? You know, there is a joke of a guy, a young boy was, you know, people who are sharp, that a lion and a bear, which would you rather attacks you? Then the guy says, I would rather the lion attacks the bear. Now, now this is what is going to happen. So they come. Now this is what they say. So one man swore against his brother. Now his brother meaning their brotherhood of, you know. Now remember, this is a war which is going to kill 1/3 of the population of the world. And is going to realign everything the way we know it, according to the scripture. Okay? Then he says, I'll read it again, verse 22. And I will bring him to judgment with, I'll read from. So it says, he turns one man's, I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord. Every man's sword will be against his brother. Okay? And I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him and on his troops and on the many peoples who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstorms, fire and brimstone, a.k.a. nuclear weapons. Okay? Now God is saying it is him, but it is Israel. And Israel says, we have our weapons when we are under threat, under any sort of existential threat. And now you can see Iran has set by the end of this year to have their nuclear weapons ready to be launched by the end of this year. Now that's interesting because Iran, because Israel says they will never allow them to have them. So there's only one thing they can do. And that is a preemptive strike, which the Bible says they will do. I told you last time. But let's just read this from Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9, start from verse 13, where it talks about the sixth. Sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Okay? Saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpets, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Go ahead. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year were released to kill 1/3 of mankind. Now, I remember when I read this, I said 1/3 of mankind, that is like extreme. That is a minimum of 2.5 billion people dying. And they are not going to die in a very long war. They are going to die in a very short span. Actually, you first go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 17 says how short it is going to be. It's not going to be a long war. It's going to be very short. 2.5 million people are dead. It's the barren which will take 7 months, like I told you the other time. But the dying will take one day. Okay. Go back to Isaiah chapter 17, verse 13. It says, the nations will rush like a rush of many waters, but God will rebuke them and they will flee far away and be chased like the chaff of the mountains before the wind, like a roaring thing before the whirlwind. Go ahead, verse 14. Then behold, at eventide, that is in the evening, trouble. And before the morning, is no more. That's how short the war is going to be. That's how short nuclear weapons are. Like, there's no time to waste. Not these ones of AK-47. No, nobody has time to waste. So it says here, even tide, there is trouble. Israel, you're surrounded in the evening. You're surrounded. Things are bad. In the morning. No, actually not in the morning. Before the morning, he's no more. That's what the scripture says. Now, very brief, very, now and we're actually going there. But I somehow suspect that the people who were targeted for extermination by vaccines are the ones who are going to survive. And those who think they are very clever will be in the other ones, because this is the judgment of God, by the way. Amen? This is judgment. This is real judgment of God. Go back to where we were, Revelation chapter 9. So the four angels to kill one third of mankind. Go ahead. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I had the number of them. I told you that one. Go ahead. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fire red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. Exactly the uniform of Russia. You go and check the uniform of Russia. Red, but breast here. They have a thing here on the breast of red. And then they have yellow here. And the rest of the uniform is blue. So when I looked at it and I looked at, I just chanced on it. Then I saw, who was it? Who had visited Russia? And I saw the Russian guard. Then I said, this is what John saw. Because he described exactly the uniform of Russia. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouth came fire, smoke, and brimstone. Now, fire, smoke, and brimstone is what? It's nuclear. And if you see the way, have you ever seen those launchers? Have you seen a nuclear launcher? You go and watch how a nuclear launcher is. Because the warhead is like this. Then it goes up like this. You've seen that. Eh? Then it's from as if from the tail. Eh? Then it goes like that. Okay, that's not nuclear, but it's the one they would use for nuclear. And now, John saw and described it. Okay, fire, smoke, and brimstone. The horses were like, okay, first go back. Yes. We are like the heads of lions, and out of their mouth came fire, smoke, and brimstone. Go ahead. He says, but by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed. Can you imagine? He mentions it again. Now, that's what I was saying, because it says a third of mankind. And it says again a third of mankind, which means a third of mankind. You cannot escape it. Was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. Eh? You see that? The tails. Eh? When the chitin goes up like this, then... Now, I want you to imagine what John was seeing 2,000 years ago. Because you see what God does, as I've told you before, he shows you exactly the way it is now, but you have to describe it in the language you knew back then. So he sees this, and he says this is like a lion, because that's what he understands. He can't say this is a nuclear launcher. But anyway, power is in their mouth and their tails, for their tails are like serpents, having heads with them, and they do harm a third of mankind. Then, he also talks about it in Zechariah chapter 14, where he really now describes, and if you are in any doubt that there's going to be nuclear weapons, Isaiah 14, verse 12. Now we are getting close there, very, very, very close, because the minute I saw Israel on the collision course with Russia, I knew we are getting there. We are getting there over that airport in Damascus. Because even Russia, I mean Israel, even went and warned Assad. Is he president or prime minister? President of Syria. And told him that if you allow your airport to be used by Iran to bring their missiles close to me, they said, we are going to bomb your palace. So, now the battle lines are really drawn, completely drawn. The thing is, Israel is in elections. I don't know how this is going to work out. And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet, and their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouths. That is nuclear weapons. Now, you probably heard me saying this before, the horror of this. But now we are close. That's why I'm dedicating almost an entire fellowship to it. Because when I study, you go and read, you know. Go and study and see the words which have been said. I was seeing a big headline in Tehran Times warning Israel, just one wrong move and you'll be wiped off. Those are the words they are using. Big headline. In a big newspaper, warning, one wrong move and that's the end of Israel. So we are getting there. One third. But That is the shaking that the Lord... First of all, it is judgment of God. Make no mistake. Okay? It is the judgment of God. Then he promised in Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, that one more time he will shake the heavens and the earth and shake the systems thereof. Because nothing remains the same after that. All these people, simani monkey pox, or what pox, what, all those people are going to shut up once and for all. You think they will shut up unless God shuts them up? Because they are planning. Now, they are planning that now monkeypox lockdowns. You wait when God locks them down. Because they are not going to let the earth rest, those servants of Satan. Okay? And they came up with a system when they wanted to come and surround, where everybody who was not aligned to their agenda was singled out for death. Some died. Even some men of God died in that thing. And they are targeted to kill more men of God so that there is no leadership. There is no, I'm talking about world-renowned men of God, so that there is no leadership. And then they come and infuse their demonic agenda. But the judgment of God now has come. Eh? Praise the Lord. So now, when you see that they sit, they stand, and start proclaiming things, convinced that they own the world, they don't know what is coming. They have no idea what is coming. Now, of course, when they hear this, it's for them. You're just talking. But wait when it comes upon them. Then you'll see a shift in the balance of power in the world. Eh? And I'm telling you that that is going to be to the favor. It says that, a scripture which the Lord was showing me today, that those who have waited upon my word, because something just, and suddenly people are on top. And it is so sudden, so unexpected, except by us who know the scriptures, and you wonder, how did this happen? And everybody somehow knows that it is purely by the hand of God. Now, this is a very important time we are in. And you see, some people don't understand. They still have very, very... And I weep for people who still have a very earthly view of life, where they do not have anything like eternal. They are very, very narrow-minded. Very narrow-minded. But the thing is, they think they are sharp. They think they are sharp. And now that's the thing. Because the devil gets you and makes you think you're very sharp. And then he actually sets you up for destruction. So they are there. Some of them come and be among us. Pretend to be like us. Yet they are spying. Because they think they can't see beyond their nose. Praise the Lord. Like some of the stupidest people are the people who spy for this government. Very stupid fools. Very stupid fools. Okay, I don't mind those who have not tested what? The anointing of God. But those who have seen the anointing of God. Amen? Like, I wonder. Because the first thing they have is the spirit of poverty. That one is like hovers over Museveni like this. Anybody who is attached to him becomes poor. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. You think you can look like me when you serve them? You can't. It's the truth. They even be there among us, but the poverty is following them. I'm telling you, it is. You think I'm joking. The first sign I look to see is if somebody has it, and I can see it in the spirit that this person has a poverty thing hovering over them, which is different from being broke. Because I've seen people who are broke who are actually rich. When I see them, I see finances, something big, and I don't see them for what I'm seeing. I see this is somebody who is headed somewhere, and I can tell. Yet the way they are now, you can see they are completely hit, beaten. But you know this is a passing phase. Because we do not walk by sight. Eh? But then there are those who, and you see a cheap poverty thing, that is the first sign. I look and I see, and by the way, I can see it very well, very, very well. Even among people who were once with us, then they were convinced. Then the next time he comes and you look at him, you say, ah, something happened. Eh? Something. You know, some people think that you can fool these things. And I can tell, I told somebody, of course, not that she had gone there. I told her, something has happened. There is some. They are not the same person that I saw the other time. And then you realize they went into, you know, some people go into some ministries, fake ministries, and then they get some aura which comes on them, eh? Which is fake. And then you look at the person, and sometimes you can even smell it. Eh? You know, haven't you smelled something in the spirit? Have you, Lydia? Eh? Haven't you? Eh? There's a time a lady, very smart, nice perfumes, what, came and sat there, and the smell. Then I'm saying, how can such a classy lady, you see the cash has packed. Then I realized the smell was in the spirit, not in the natural. Then when the spirit thing vanishes, now she suddenly smells very good. But you've had a sample of the real person. So now, somebody comes and there's something smelling here. Huh? You know, there's some guy who came to spy my room during campaigns. Is that the guy came to my room at night and was spying, trying to gauge me in the spirit, because I'd arranged a meeting with him to go and meet him. So at night I'm sleeping, then I wake up, and then there is this heavy smell of njaga. Eh? So I say, I even told my, who is smoking njaga here? Then can't you smell it? I can't smell it. I said, no. And there was a very heavy smell, of njaga. So to the point that I stood up, I said, who is smell? So I even walked out of, you know, the apartments and moved like this to see who. I don't expect anybody here smelling. Then I realized it was in the spirit. I was smelling it in the spirit. There was nobody smoking. What? Jaga. Now the funny thing is, the next day, I think it was 2 days later, when I went to meet him, Exactly I entered the man and it just but you be humble and you go and sit and you know jazz properly. Mkama fe was you. So my point is this. You know, some people think that our eyes are closed to certain things, but they are not. They really are not. And even if you try to, it will either show up somewhere. You will see something. You will see something. Something has gone wrong. There's somebody who used to be, anyway, let me not go there, but stay connected to the grace of, like, regardless of where you are, like, you're just going through. I can assure you, like, I see people and the person looks very, very, very haggard, beaten all over. But me, I'm seeing glory. And not by faith. I'm seeing somebody who is, man, I'm saying, this person is going places. From way back, by the way, from way back, there are so many people whom I saw. Some of them, they are, you know, now, of course, there is something, some evidence. But others, there is nothing. Okay, you see it, there is none, but you know this is, everything is okay. So they say, but man, things are not working out. I say, no, they are. You just hang in there. Something is about what? To happen. Praise the Lord. Because judgment comes with reward. The judgment of the wicked comes with reward for the righteous. Praise the Lord. Amen? But then also, the Lord told was telling me, those who were partnership, remember what I told you about surrender, living a life of surrender? You heard it was also said, you know? That's what it will take to be wealth transfer. Just that, surrender. Surrender. And if you really want to have things you've never worked for, which you never even believed you would have, just surrender. Just step by step, step by step, step by step, then suddenly, bam, you're there because you're ready for it. And your life is surrendered to Him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, we finished preaching now. So today I've been the watchman. There's this lady. You come. First come. You. What's your name? Okay. What do you do? So the Lord is opening up a special blessing for you in the area of Job. Amen. Say, I receive it.
I receive it.
It's a special area of Job. Now let me say this so to increase your faith. Before I started preaching, I looked at you when we were worshiping and he told me that. So I've been knowing it for a whole 1 hour. Waiting to reveal that to you.
Yes.
So in the area of Job and the end of struggle.
Yes.
And where do you stay?
In Jitindale.
With your folks?
No, I stay alone.
You stay alone,
Yeah.
Alone or there are some dependents, like some siblings or what?
No, alone.
Alone,
Yeah.
Because you're going to be like a help to them, to your, siblings.
Yeah, okay, there are guys in the village whom...
Whom you help,
Yeah.
Why are you helping guys in the village? But anyway, the Lord is using... Lord is using you to be a conduit for a blessing in your family.
Yes.
And... your time is now. So those you've looked for a better job,
Yes.
And you've applied and what, but now here is the sign that they are going to call you to a place where you thought that there was rejection. They are going to call you, and it will almost be not almost, it will be miraculous. How did they even still remember me? How did they what? But somehow they will remember you. And then they will call you, and then there will be a need for you, and then you'll enter into something serious. And, because me, I'm seeing what? A cloud of money.
Yes.
What I was talking about.
Yes.
On you. And about to manifest.
Yes.
Receive it.
Receive
okay,
it.
In the name of Jesus, I speak a blessing upon you. Said you're called who?
Akelo Dorin.
Akelo Dorin.
Yes.
Okay, and there is also an anointing for jobs. For jobs, those who want jobs. Now I want you to believe that this week, something. By this week, I mean between now and next Friday, something. Those who are looking for jobs, who have been in some kind of pseudo employment, receive it where you are. Eh? If you want a job, just say, I receive it in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you because your children here will testify about jobs. In Jesus, you may go and see. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Now, also you, this lady, what's your name? And now, Josephine, a lot of uncertainty is being removed away from you. Eh? You're here, there, what, you know, you're trying to see which, as if which mango is ripe. Eh? Now, stability, eh?
Amen.
And definiteness about
Amen.
Which path to take.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Even in your finance things, eh? What do you do?
Project management. Part time.
Part time, eh?
Yeah.
Why are you laughing? Was it good? No, anyway, no, joke. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, the struggle financially is over.
Amen.
Say amen, eh?
Amen.
Say amen. Eh?
Amen.
And so many questions you've been asking yourself. Eh? Why is this not happening? Why is this not happening? I'm seeming to do this, then this is not going well, and so on. And now, directness. Eh?
Amen.
You have an answer, a clear, definite answer, and you'll settle down
Amen.
In one specific direction.
Yes.
And even so many things which you are thinking about, I want to do this, I want to do this. You have so many ideas. Eh?
Yes.
And you don't, they never get off the ground. Eh? One idea starts and is overtaken by the other, and then by the other. But now that uncertainty, the Lord is removing.
Amen.
And you one will actually pull you before anything can divert you. Eh?
Amen.
One of those ideas will get you and get a hold of you and pull you and take you, and then you know that this is because you're creative. Eh? You have a creative mind.
Yes.
But that's also an impediment.
Yes.
To you.
Yes.
Eh? Because you're creating this, then creating
yes.
the other, then you're not moving.
Yes.
So now, one thing
yes.
eh?
Amen.
Draws you and you go away.
Amen.
And then you enter into the success thereof.
Amen.
And your creativity does not become
yes.
an impediment
yes.
to you.
Amen.
But it becomes a strength. Eh?
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just pray in tongues, everybody. Brian, you come also. Now, I actually saw something different here, but when I held your hand, I saw some love. Eh? I saw somebody you are in love with. But yeah, prophesy about what? A blessing. Eh?
Hallelujah.
Not love things. Eh?
Amen.
But there's something. Eh?
Amen.
Cooking, isn't it?
Yes.
Fumba. But anyway, let's leave that. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The next level.
Hallelujah.
For you.
I receive.
In Jesus' name.
I receive.
Now he's telling me to tell you that your heart is perfect towards him. Eh?
Hallelujah.
Because you love him and you really have the attitude of serving.
Thank you, Papa.
Now he says,
amen.
You have been faithful in little.
Amen.
He's giving you more.
Hallelujah. I receive. Amen.
And he's giving you happiness.
Hallelujah. Receive.
All round.
Thank you, Jesus. I receive.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
I receive.
And even other ideas that you've been cooking outside of this photography.
Amen.
But still a bit related.
Amen.
But to expand yourself.
Yes, Papa.
Now I speak life to them.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I decree,
amen,
that they fall in place.
Amen.
Miraculously.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And you realize them so fast. Actually, I'm seeing you realizing them so fast.
Amen.
And as if something, things just fall in place. Eh?
Yeah, yes, yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And now you become big time in your industry.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. Eh? And because your heart is like ready to serve. Eh?
Amen.
You have a heart to serve and you really love the Lord.
Amen.
And you know, so he's going to give you something.
Thank you, Jesus.
Of your own. Eh?
Thank you, Jesus.
Where you will glorify him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I receive. Mm-hmm.
Do any of you guys have something, or you just came to it? I'm going to be getting you offside. Eh? Athanasius, is there anything you have, or you said it before? Nothing. Can you have? Yes, you have, Alfred. We have powerful people of God here, but they just be here. You give him the microphone, let him tell us what the Lord is saying. After him, Lydia.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
2 days ago, as I was praying at night, the Lord was telling me that Pakistan and Saudi Arabia. Actually, it was very clear, Pakistan and Saudi Arabia. I saw a flag that is green and yellow and had a black star in it. I haven't looked it up yet, but the Lord was telling me that there is going to be a brief kind of like a war, a problem between the two countries. And that was 2 days ago. Apostle, for a while now, the Lord has been telling me about a ministry in Kenya. And Eldoret and Kisumu and Dodoma. Those ones came up. The Lord has been telling me about Frank. Frank, there's something about a passport. Him about a passport that he needs to work on, I think, quickly. The other man with a guitar, I think you want a new car, and you want to sell the old one to get the new one. Nandra, every time I look at you, I see a young girl who has a problem with the knee. I don't know why. There's a young girl every time I see you who has a knee problem. A young girl who has, I think, a problem with the leg. This lady, you are afraid. I think it has something to do with your pregnancy. But it's about a past experience. Something about a past experience. It has brought some fear. So ours is not the spirit of fear. There is someone here also who has been praying for the mother. The mother has a problem with Prophet Elvis and our father kissing the feet, and she's very religious, Catholic. You can bring something as a point of contact to this place. The Lord is going to work on your mother and pull her out of religion.
Who is that person? You come out.
Is that person there? Who has been praying for the mother? The mother is still into religion.
And the mother is also sick. Okay, no.
So that is for now what the Spirit of the Lord had.
Lydia, do you have anything? I want to talk to this gentleman here. How are you now? How are you now?
I still feel the pain in the head. I'm not totally free. Yes.
You're not totally free, eh? Okay. Where do you stay?
Stay in Sinta.
With who?
I stay alone.
But you shift from where you're staying, eh? Find another place, eh? Is attached to being in another place. Just find another house. You have to stay. Let you point your hands towards him, this gentleman here, everybody. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I command Satan to get his hands off you. I command Satan to get his hands off you in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. And I decree now that you are completely free. And every attempt by the enemy. Attempt by the enemy to cause, I cut you off every link that is prolonging your bondage in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And you might need to move away from a certain place and start over in a different place for your deliverance to be complete. But now in the name of Jesus, I decree that you're free in Jesus' name. But do what I'm telling you. You understand? And to live even the freedom, apart from the attack on your head, is attacking also your creativity and your income. So move, find a way, move, and then there will be a difference. There will be a difference in Jesus' name. Amen. You said you're called me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for promotions, for jobs, for new openings. In the name of Jesus, for everybody in this place, receive it. Receive new openings. You receive expansion in the name of Jesus. Expansion and new openings. Expansion, expansion, expansion. Receive it. Receive it. Because the Lord is expanding your territory now, enlarging your territory. The Lord is enlarging your territory, and now you will see it, and you will see that your sphere of influence is growing in the name of Jesus, and it affects you in every way, positively, your sphere of influence in the name of Jesus. Some people's sphere of influence might even affect their travel and so on. The Lord is doing that for you right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, receive it. Receive it. Amen. God bless you.
That was The Watchman.
Join us at our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa, Kampala.
To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555. or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.